You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Deeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by BetOnline.ag. Promo code BLEAV50 to get up to 50% matching on your initial deposit. Football season is here. Win some money with the Eagles Unfiltered team over at BetOnline.ag. BLEAV Podcast Network presents the show. Connor Miles with Ed Kraz as always. Ed, Carson Wentz plays his former team, the Philadelphia Eagles, on Sunday. It's the Eagles versus the Washington Commanders. The first time Philadelphia gets to go against their former franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. What are your thoughts right now going into game week? This is our game preview show. We're going to give our thoughts and opinions, updates from what Ed heard during the week, during training camp, during the practices and press conferences. So that's what we're going to start doing now. A little short, you know, maybe 20 minutes max game preview episodes. But Ed, what are you hearing? What are you thinking? What did this week give you? What kind of vibe?
Hey, don't forget our predictions too, Connor.
Got your predictions.
Put those down for whatever it's worth. Mine stunk last week. But anyway.
Yeah, same.
Carson Wentz, you know he's excited about this game, right? And I'm excited about this game. I think it's going to be really cool to see him match up against his former team. He said earlier in the week that, you know, he probably could have been a better teammate while he was in Philadelphia, and I'm thinking he probably meant when he got benched for Jalen Hurts. I know him and Jalen Hurts don't have any kind of relationship at all. He didn't help Jalen even a little bit. Hurts didn't even want to talk about it this week. I kind of asked him what he learned from him, and he just said some things that he observed from him, you know, tough in the pocket, strong arm, but nothing on a verbal level where Carson gave him any sort of advice. And then he said, I just want to move on. I don't want to talk about the past. So, you know, as much as Carson wants to win this game, you know, Jalen Hurts wants to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was interesting to hear Carson talk about, you know, this week, the admittance of, could have handled things a little bit different in Philadelphia during his tenure here. And then Tim McManus drops that bomb article for ESPN, you know, pretty much highlighting the fact that Carson really kind of outed Jalen during his rookie season and pretty much tried to pretend that he wasn't there. Not a surprise at all. I mean, all the leadership stuff that comes out about Carson Wentz lately, I mean, you know, how things fell apart in Indianapolis, it kind of just seems like, you know, Washington really was the perfect place for him because that's a team that really is desperate for a quarterback and doesn't really care how you act. Just go out there and play. That just seems like perfect situation for him. Perfect situation for the Eagles to move on with Jalen Hurts. I just think, you know, there was a lot of focus this week on, and I honestly think at the end of the day, because I remember when I reported this back when, you know, talking to people close to Doug, at the end of the day, this whole mantra of, you know, I know you believe it too, and I know that there is some merit to it, but I can't buy the fact Howie Roseman spent a second-round pick, a premium pick, on a backup quarterback. I can't. I know that was what the thought was envisioned at the time. He wanted to secure back behind Carson Wentz, but you can do that in any other way. They did that. They actually did that previously before they drafted Jalen Hurts. They went out and signed Nick Foles in free agency to make sure that they had a reliable backup behind Carson Wentz. And it cost them a premium draft pick. It just cost them money. So, I mean, again, this is spilt milk. This is revisionist history. It's over with now. The Eagles moved on with Jalen Hurts. But I don't care. Something inside of me tells me that that's what Howie wanted. This is going exactly to plan when they drafted Jalen Hurts. You use a premium pick on a second-round pick on a quarterback, you're wanting to see that quarterback out on the field at some point. You want to see that your investment at some point. And the Eagles are seeing it, and he's become the starting quarterback. So I don't want to say Howie envisioned this future per se, because I doubt it. I mean, unless he has a crystal ball and I want to get the winning lottery ticket numbers. But, you know, he was at that Senior Bowl in 2020, and I firmly remember all the reports there that he fell in love with Jalen Hurts at the Senior Bowl. You know, I think in 2019, there were signs of, wow, this might actually you know, not work out. We're actually getting second thoughts on our investment. I think there were. I think there was definitely signs. You know, I think Carson played his best football during the wintertime of that season. But I still think that there were signs. And I think, you know, hindsight's 2020, but we're looking back on this situation now. I'm sorry. He can sell it and everybody can buy it, but I'm not buying it. He did not draft Jalen Hurts envisioning a long-term backup from a second-round pick. I just can't buy that. I'm sorry. I just can't. You know, he fell in love with a quarterback. He took that quarterback. He was bold enough to take that quarterback. And I'm going to tell you right now, again, hindsight's 2020, but he ended up being right about that decision because that quarterback has proven to be his starting quarterback. And it's actually a good thing because his former starter fell completely apart. I don't think Carson could spend more time in Philly. I know the reports suggest that, you know, the Eagles wanted to hold on to him after 2020 and, you know, they wanted to mend that marriage. But I think the minute that he requested the trade, they were as appalled as he was of them. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard for me to buy it, man. It is. So I think right now the Eagles are in the best position they were meant to be in long term. I do. I think they were.
Yeah, I think if you took a poll of Eagles fans right now and asked who would you like to be your quarterback, Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts, I'd say probably 80% of those fans would say Jalen Hurts, if not more. But, you know, here's the interesting thing is here we are 2 years later and the Eagles have the number one ranked offense. I know it's only after two games, but Carson Wentz has the Washington Commanders in the top 10 in total offense as well. So who would have saw that coming? And, you know, 2 years ago in 2020, when the wheels were off the Eagles machine, it was 4-11-1. Wentz was benched. Hurts replaced him. And now here we are 2 years later. Wentz is on his second team and he's got that offense in the top 10. Hurts now entrenched as his second year, as a second year starter. He's got the Eagles offense riding high, number one in the league in rushing, number two in passing, number one overall. They're averaging 475 yards a game, which is crazy. The last time the Eagles had two games back-to-back with 450-plus yards was in 2017 in the NFC Championship game against the Vikings and then in the Super Bowl 52 against the Patriots. That was the last time they had back-to-back games with 450-plus yards total offense. And that was in the, you know, the Nick Foles days, obviously. And now here we are, Hurts is doing it. But it's going to be a good, it's going to be a really exciting matchup to see how this all plays out. And the best part is we get to do it again in Philadelphia on November 14th, when Washington comes to Lincoln Financial Field for a Monday nighter.
You thought the boos were bad for Jalen Reagor?
Whew. Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
You thought the boos were bad for Russell Wilson in Seattle?
Whew. Yeah, you're right. And there'll be more of them than there were for Reagor because Reagor was only on the field for, you know, whatever, 5-6 snaps. And, you know, Carson will be out there if he's still healthy. He'll be out there for, you know, 60 snaps, whatever it is that he plays that night. So, yeah, the boos are going to be pretty loud. But, you know, it's going to be loud on Sunday, too, at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. I mean, there's, you know, I saw somewhere today they said that there's going to be like 50% of that crowd's going to be Eagles fans, some website that monitors that stuff. So, you know, it's going to feel a little bit like a home game. And there's going to be boos for Carson Wentz down in Washington. The Eagles always take over FedEx Field whenever the Eagles play there. And they're going to do it again on Sunday. So, you know, get ready to hear some boos on television if you're watching it on television, because they're going to boo Carson Wentz when they see him.
What matchup are you looking forward to watching this week between this Eagles team against this Washington team?
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing Wentz kind of, you know, see if he can move this offense against an Eagles defense that, you know, blitzed a little bit more. I think the Eagles are going to get after Wentz because we've seen him in the past. He gets a little flustered. He holds the ball a little too long. He's prone to fumbling. I think he's got 67 of those in his career. He's lost 28 of them. So I think that's the matchup for me, is this Eagles defensive line against the Commanders offensive line, because they want to pressure Wentz. They want him to hold the football and maybe make a bad decision with it. So that's the matchup for me. And I think they can get at least two turnovers out of Carson Wentz on Sunday.
Ooh, two. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I like that. Two turnovers on Carson Wentz. Hey, they just signed their center off the street.
Yep.
Their starting guard's going to be out. Their offensive line wasn't even that great with those starters in there as is. I'm with you on that. I think they could do that as well. I think, you know, a great matchup is going to be that a lot of people aren't really honing in on, because you know, it's Washington. They don't get the most national exposure, but Jahan Dotson, yeah, the wide receiver for Penn State over there, is putting up an offensive rookie of the year campaign right now for Washington. I mean, mm-hmm, I think, you know, I respect Terry McLaurin. I think Terry McLaurin is elite wide receiver too as well. I think Dotson's ceiling's a little bit higher than his. I think they have a mini Odell in his prime on their hands. You know, this isn't going to be an easy matchup. This is the game that you want to see Darius Slay and James Bradbury live up to their standards, because these wide receivers are going to be no slouch for them. And Carson Wentz can still air it out. You know, I still think Carson's a good quarterback. I do.
Yeah.
He's a quality starting quarterback in this league, regardless of the mistakes, regardless of the volatile play. He's a good starting quarterback in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Does he fit everything that you ask him of? No. In Washington, though, the old school Ron Rivera, Ron Turner offense that's inspired by North Turner, you know, a team that has been going through Taylor Heineke, Ryan Fitzpatrick, so on and so forth, Case Keenum, you know, he's in the perfect situation for him. I really do. I think it's the perfect situation for him. They're not going to ask too much of him. They're not going to even ask him to be a leader. They don't care. Just come in and put up 27 touchdowns and 7 interceptions like he did with the Indianapolis Colts. We'll take that any day of the week. You do whatever you want on your John Deere afterwards. Like that's the perfect place for him. So yeah. I think, you know, everybody's thinking this is going to be a blowout. This is going to be a tough game. I mean, this is going to be a pounding because the Eagles really want to beat Wentz. I don't see that at all. I think it's going to be, like you said, from both sides. They really both want to beat each other. And it's a divisional game. You have to respect your divisional opponent. I won't be surprised it comes down to a field goal. I really wouldn't.
All right.
I think it's going to be a hard-fought game.
My prediction's a little more slanted than a field goal. But, they have weapons around Carson, right? They have – you mentioned McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, 3 touchdowns in 2 games. You know, Curtis Samuel is back from injury. Yeah. You know, he's a real Swiss Army knife, if you will. You know, he's a good yards after catch guy. And Logan Thomas is a good tight end. He developed into a very good tight end. I think he was a quarterback at, I think, Virginia Tech when he came in the league. And, you know, the Commanders did a good job developing him, kind of like you were hoping the Eagles would do with Tyree Jackson, who has had a couple injury situations here last year that he's still trying to rehab from. But you know, I think that the Commanders like to beat you deep. They like to live on explosive plays, and they're gonna take some shots downfield. There's no doubt. And you're right about Bradbury and Slay. I mean, they're off to good starts. But you know, you want to see this safety group with Marcus Epps hold up. I like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the way he's come along in just 2 weeks since he got here in a trade. You know, he seems like he's just going to get better and better. I mean, he was out of position a few times against the Vikings, but, you know, I like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and I like Avante Maddox. I mean, you know, covering whoever it is that lines up against him in the slot. So that might be an even matchup to me, the receivers against the secondary, but, you know, all it takes is that one deep shot to connect. And, you know, then you get some momentum if you're Washington. So they're going to take their shots deep. And we'll see how the Eagles play that, see how Jonathan Gannon plays that.
Can you believe you're saying that? Like, I like the Eagles' corners against their wide receivers. Can you believe that phrase? Like, I can't believe that phrase. You don't say that phrase.
Well, they're playing well.
Playing incredibly well. That's one of the best units on this team, if not the best, other than the offensive line, if you ask me.
Yeah. That's probably about right. Yeah. But yeah, that defense overall against the Vikings was just, you know, a total team effort. You know, the defensive line put pressure on with some blitz help, and, you know, the linebackers tackled well. TJ Edwards had, I think it was 10 tackles. He's just been, you know, to me a 4. He played a great game Monday night, TJ Edwards. N'Kobe Dean can't even get on the field. He didn't even play any defensive snaps. Kaiser White, I think, has been very good at the linebacker position, and then the corners. Bradbury, Slay. I mean, Slay was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week this year after that performance on Monday night.
Yeah, shout out to T.J. Edwards, though. I mean, what a bounce back way after week one versus Detroit. He was electric all over the field. That's the reason why N'Kobe Dean's not seeing the field, because the way T.J. Edwards played on Monday night. Kaiser White as well. I mean, I'm telling you right now, folks, when you don't hear the weak side linebacker's name a lot, that's a good thing. I'm telling you right now, that's a good thing. If you don't hear his name a lot, that means he's playing very well. I think what's going to be a great thing that we're going to bring to this pod right now is we're going to make 2 bold predictions for these games now. We're going to start doing that. I just got it off the top of my head, but I think we're going to start doing that now.
Okay.
And we're going to review on our you know, our game after we recap the game, our bold predictions and see how close we were, how far off we were. I got two bold predictions for you, Ed, and let's see what you think about them. Hassan Reddick gets 2 sacks.
Oh, okay.
Bold prediction. Okay. Yeah. I get Hassan Reddick getting 2 sacks. I think this is breakout game is going to become this Sunday. The other bold prediction is Miles Sanders gets 120 yards on the ground.
Oh, okay.
I think, you know, before we got on the pod, you mentioned how, you know, the head coach has off the record stuff that we can't discuss, which I clearly understand how off the record stuff goes, but he goes over matchups that he likes. And then you agree or disagree with him or not. I think, and he didn't mention this maybe, but I think he's going to love this week. I think St. Charles is feeling the same way, taking advantage of this run defense in Washington. It's very poor, very poor. Their leading linebacker, Cole Holcomb, is, you know, looks like he's lost out there completely. And that's your Mike linebacker, and he looks completely lost out there. That means your run defense is going to struggle mightily. And, you know, the Eagles have gone through those issues as well. So I think Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Kenny Gainwell, Jalen Hurts himself, I think they gash Washington's defense on the ground this weekend. And I think people are going to complain again and say, you know, Jalen Hurts isn't getting enough passing touchdowns. No, he's not doing nothing there. Well, I think the Eagles are going to gash him on the ground, and then they're going to need to do much to the air because of that reason. And I don't think Washington's secondary is that good at all either. William Jackson has been a horrible for that. Their free agent corner they got from Cincinnati, awful since they signed him. Kendall Fuller is really the only good corner. And their secondary is still trying to figure it out after the loss of their team captain, Landon Collins, this offseason. So they can beat them through the air, but I think there's going to be such a great opportunity to run the ball and pound the ball. And I think Miles Sanders, you know, he looks like contract year Miles Sanders. He looks like he wants to get his second big deal in the league, whether it's with the Eagles or not. That's the way he's running the ball. He's running tough. North and South, Ed. Stuff that we're not used to seeing really from him. So I think he gashes Washington on the ground. This is really his breakout party. I know he's already had great game against the Lions, great game against the Vikings, but I think this is his, 120 yards for Miles Sanders is a lot, folks. And I think Hassan Reddick gets 2 sacks.
I like it. I like the bold predictions. Mine would be, I already gave you one, I guess. Carson Wentz is going to turn the ball over twice. I think the Eagles will force a fumble, and I think they'll have an interception. I mean, this cornerback duo has got 4 picks already in 2 games. Now, I know Slay has 2, but Maddox has 1. Bradbury has a pick 6. I mean, they didn't get their 4th interception last year until week 5. So their first one came week 4. And, you know, here we are week 3, and they've already got 4. So I like the way the secondary is playing. So I think they're going to get 2 turnovers out of Carson Wentz. I think they're going to pick him once, and they're going to recover a fumble. Now, they could pick him twice because I think that defensive line is going to get home, you know, and it would be great to see Hassan Reddick, after, you know, being blanked in the sack department these first 2 weeks, get at least 1, hopefully 2, maybe 3. That would even be better. But that's going to be my prediction. Bold prediction number 1 is Carson Wentz throwing or turning the ball over twice. And then I guess my second one, I mean, I like your Miles Sanders 120, but I'm gonna say that I think both Sanders and Hurts go over 100 yards rushing in this game. We saw that in Hurts's season, or I guess first start.
Yeah, New Orleans. Right? You're right. They did against New Orleans his rookie year.
And they had a pretty good defense coming in, and this defense doesn't run well or stop the run well. So, you know, I think we could see a Hurts Sanders plus 100-yard game from each this week. You know, and then Hurts will probably have another touchdown run. And I think he's going to throw two touchdowns this week. I think he's going to, Eagles are going to put up a lot of points. So, you know, I think he'll throw 2 touchdowns. I think he'll run for 100+ yards. And I think Miles Sanders will have over 100 as well. And you're right about Sanders. He has committed himself in the offseason to, you know, being in shape and being better conditioned and all that stuff. And then, you know, it was disappointing to see training camp where he, you know, missed 3 weeks with a hamstring. But it looks like the Eagles were just being kind of cautious. They didn't want to push it and make it worse than it was. And, you know, that's the big thing, I think, after 2 weeks with Miles Sanders is he's running hard and he's staying healthy, which, you know, we all agreed that that was something he needed to do if he wanted to put together the kind of season that will lead to another contract either here in Philadelphia or elsewhere. But I think he does top 100 this year. And the last time he did it, was against Washington. So, you know, Washington, I don't think has done a lot to improve that run game. You mentioned the linebackers, Jamin Davis and Holcomb. I don't think they're very impressive. So the Eagles, I think, can make some hay on the ground. And I think they'll have two guys over 100, Hurts and Sanders.
I think the difference between Miles Sanders and this, again, this is only two games in, but I think we should start paying attention more a little bit to this is I think he finally convinced himself he's not LeSean McCoy. You know, there's always with him, he tried to use his elusiveness to win. And, you know, very few can be as elusive as LeSean McCoy. I do think he has a similar skill set, but he's not as elusive, not even close.
Shady McCoy's a borderline Hall of Famer. I think he is a Hall of Famer. I mean, yeah. Miles Sanders isn't. I mean, not certainly not at this point. And we're 4 years in now, or what is it? Yeah, 3 years in. So, yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of work to do if he wants to get in that conversation. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, he can't be McCoy. Nobody can be McCoy. So, well, let's hope he just settles for, hey, I'm Miles Sanders, and I'm going to do what I do and not worry about being somebody else.
Well, that's what it looks like to me because it looks like he's playing into his own comfortability so far. I mean, there's many times last year I'm like, what is he looking at? Where's his vision going? Why is he bouncing outside? There's a lane right through the middle. Go through it. This year I'm not saying that. I know it's only two games in, but, I mean, that's something to keep your eye on. It looks like he finally is – I want to say figured out his struggles per se, but I think he's just figured out what kind of player he is in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I think running backs that are shifty like him think they can do it all from an elusive standpoint. And that's just not the case. Right. You know, I've seen Marlon Mack. I've seen, you know, Steve Slayton, you know, all these guys that are very elusive literally shifty guys who believe that their elusiveness can win in this league and they can't, you know? So I think Miles Sanders finally, you know, maybe figured that out. Per se, maybe had Jermell Singleton, you know, give him some tough love because he wasn't Deuce Staley. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but Joe Mixon struggled with the same thing. I'll tell you right now, for everybody out there that forgets, and Singleton was Joe Mixon's running back coach. Mixon thought the same thing when he came into the NFL with the Bengals. Very talented running back. Everybody knew he was. Everybody knew Miles Sanders was too. They're both second round picks. But Mixon thought he was so elusive that he can win with that in the NFL. And there was guys on defense that were more elusive than him. It took him a minute, especially with his offensive line. He thought with the Bengals offensive line being as weak as it was, he can win with his elusiveness, and that was not the case. And I don't know if Singleton changed. I mean, I know that they changed their coaching staff, so he had a new running back coach. But last 3 years, Mixon's changed completely and has embraced himself as one of the top 10 running backs in the league from changing his style of running. And maybe Sanders is coming into his own and doing the same. I don't know. It's only two games in. We'll see. But he's definitely changed his style a bit. It's definitely noticeable in the all 22. If you guys go back and look at it, these first two games, it looks like he's taking advantage of the openings on the offensive line where he wasn't doing that before. So I like it. That's why I'm confident in Miles Sanders this week. And I think he takes a big advantage of that Washington defense. He's trying to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your score prediction though? Let's hear the score prediction.
Well, I think, like I said, I think the Eagles are going to score some points. You know, they averaged 31.5 points through 2 weeks, you know, and Washington is averaging 27.5 points through 2 weeks. So, you know, these are two capable offenses. And I just think the Eagles are going to probably put up 30. So, and I'm not sure how often Washington's going to score. I think they're going to make their share of plays. But, you know, I think the Eagles are going to win this game like 30-20 is going to be my prediction. I think they're just going to be able to kind of, I don't want to say coast, but I think they'll be in this control of this game late, kind of like they were with the Vikings. You know, the Vikings, hey, they had their chances, you know, but they couldn't take advantage of them. The blocked field goal, Cousins throws a pick. You know, they get the interception on the middle screen try to Kenny Gainwell, who, by the way, Nick Sirianni took blame for that play call. He said it was a terrible play call at that point. And I agree. I think there was a lot of wrong things about calling that play at that time. I think I said that on the pod earlier.
You did this week. Yeah. You totally bashed that move.
So, I mean, when Jordan Hicks returns it to the first and goal at the 9 yard line, 8 minutes to go in the game. I mean, the Vikings had chances. They just didn't capitalize. And, you know, I think the Eagles will probably get off to a fast start like they did. I'd love to see them win the coin toss and elect to receive so they can march down the field and go up 7-0 before Washington even takes the field. And when the first time they do, they're behind. Love to see that, but I'm not sure Nick Sirianni will do that if he wins the toss. He always likes to defer and send his defense out, and I hate that. But I just think the Eagles will be in control early. I think they'll kind of, you know, ride the momentum of the second half, the ebbs and flows, you know, whatever chances Washington has. I think the Eagles will have an answer for them. So I like the Eagles to win by 10, 30-20.
I think the Eagles dominate the first half because I think you get another what the hell was that Carson Wentz first half type of performance, because he did it against Jacksonville, he did it against Detroit. I think he's going to do it again because, again, he's still trying to adjust to a new system and a new offense and new language and new chemistry and offensive line that's, you know, pretty much revolving door right now in front of him. And you know how he plays when the offensive line is in that type of state. So I think he has another what the hell first half was that. The Eagles jump up to like a, you know, a 17-3 lead going into halftime. Then they keep the gas on the pedal because I just don't think Washington's defense is gonna be able to handle it. You know, it's crazy saying that because they have such talent on their defensive front seven, but I just don't think their defense is up to par, especially Jack Del Rio's outdated system, to handle what the Eagles are doing now in offense. I don't think so at all. So I don't think they're gonna ever let off the foot off the gas per se, but I think it's gonna be something similar to Detroit where Washington comes out second half, switches everything up, claws their way back into it to make it a little similar close game, but the Eagles still win handily. And that 10 prediction is pretty good, but I have the Eagles winning. Let's just go 38 to 30. Let's go 38-30.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I mean, listen, again, disclaimer here, please don't bet your mortgage or your kid's college tuition on what I say and probably what Connor says, because I had the Eagles losing to the Vikings last week. I'm not ashamed to say. I mean, I thought the Vikings were a good team. I still think the Vikings are a good team, but the Eagles really took it to them. So, again, take our predictions with a grain of salt, please. No wagering.
No. Well, not only that, I mean, the friendly better. Come on, guys. The week two Eagles curse was real. The friendly better has to take advantage of his opportunities. And
yeah,
I think the Eagles week two curse was incredibly real. So yeah. I fell for it, but hey, different team, different era, different football. We're confident now. We're saying the Eagles are going to win. We both have the Eagles winning this week. And I think handily per se, the way that we use context to describe how they win. I'm excited. I think this is a different Eagles team. This is definitely a different Eagles team. Good vibes in there. Nick Sirianni seems like he's ready to lead this team to victory against their old franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz in Washington this weekend. That will do it for us, guys. We will be back to recap the game early next week, and then we'll be continuing our game preview episodes, and let's keep it rocking and rolling. Enjoy the rest of the season. Remember, passing touchdowns aren't necessary in court unless you're scoring in still.